I'm going to be sharing with us what I've titled, How Faith Works. Amen. Amen? It is very crucial, even in these times, you know, when you look around, people are calling on the... I mean, it's so amazing through this period that we've been through, this pandemic and all of that, you know. More than any other time in my lifetime, I've heard people call on the name of Jesus, praying and calling on God. Now people are becoming more visible with their faith in God. We're going to see some things and understand how this concept of faith works. Because a lot of times people have made shipwreck. You know, they've jumped out and they assume that they are in faith. But because of lack of understanding or wrong doctrine, you fall apart. And then it leads to some people walking out of church and saying that it doesn't work. You know, they did everything, they read, they heard, and it doesn't work. But no. So let me just say this right here and now, that faith works. And it works all the time. Faith in God works, and it works all the time. Now your experience, we are going to check out the things that impact on our faith, the things that truncate the operation of your faith. You know, so that now when you see those things, you know that this thing is about to cause some major damage. You know? Hallelujah. Before I jump into it, I just want us to, if you haven't gotten this book, please make sure you get it. The link to the ebook is on our Facebook page. And you can go on our website to alikonline.org/publications, and you get all the information there. Vision 2020 by Reverend Kayode Tadeshe. Try and get that book. It is so important in this day and in this time. You cannot function in the season that we're in without a vision. In fact, your faith is inoperative without vision. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 1, in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there must be an expectation. And your expectation is in part your vision for the future, right? So if you don't have a vision for the future and you say you are in faith, like they say, he who expects nothing shall never be disappointed. So if you're expecting nothing and you're standing in faith, you don't have a clear cut, you know, vision or picture of what you are expecting in your future, then anything goes. You will accept anything that comes your way. Amen? Amen. And so even as I've said that, you know, faith works all the time, we know that that is not true for every one of us, if we are being honest. You know, there are times, you know, you pray, you read the word, you do everything that you've learned, and it works. You get results. But some of the times, you do all these things and it doesn't work. It doesn't produce. And then we give different reasons why it doesn't work. But that is, we need to be sure and know exactly how faith works. Because Jesus never failed in operating his faith. The disciples, after Jesus left, never failed in their operation of this faith. So we need to understand what is the secret to maintaining success in our walk of faith. Amen? And so let us look at Romans chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 18. This is the story or the concise version of Abraham's experience. Remember, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So his faith caught God's attention. And so let us start from, so we can say that this is the beginning of success in the operation of faith. But let us see, and I want you to mirror yourself in this situation and see his journey. Amen? So let's go. from verse 18, please let us have this in a New Living Translation. The Bible says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Now, I'm just going to read this whole thing down to verse 22, and then we will now look at it closely. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, pay attention, at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Before we proceed, I want to give you the definition of faith that I live by. Amen? So you're not going to find it in the Bible. But it is a combination of scriptures and based on the experience that I've had. And what I see faith to be is faith is the absolute confidence or trust in God and in his ability to fulfill his promise or word. Absolute confidence in God and in his ability to fulfill his promise or his word. Amen? So keep that in one part of your mind as we go through this journey together. The Bible says, Abraham, even when there was no reason for hope. Why? The Bible says that he saw his body as dead. His wife's womb was dead. Understand, Abraham has been on a journey since he was 75 and now he's 99. And the Lord, at this time, now if you go back in history, what had happened, God called Abraham when he was 75, said, listen, I'm going to make you, the father of many nations. I'm going to lead you to a land that is going to be your own, make you a great nation and give you a great name. I mean, if the Lord comes to you with that kind of promise and you don't have to do anything for it, you'll be quick to embrace that promise, right? And say, okay, Lord, let's get on this journey together. That was chapter 12. Chapter 13 of Genesis. The Bible says he was coming out of Egypt, having been made very rich in cattle, very rich in gold and silver. The promise of God has been kept. One aspect of it. That same chapter 13, he had his friction with Lot. And he was about to lose focus because now it's like Lot paying attention to what, you can see. He saw the good land. He was looking at the things, that people would like to have. And that looked like, the promise of God. But God showed up after Lot left and said, listen, now lift up your eyes. I need you to catch a clearer vision. This, you are looking at a small picture. You need to see a bigger picture. Amen? Abraham lifted up his eyes and now he caught the vision. The Bible says God said, walk, the length and breadth of the land. You need to catch the picture. And he caught the vision. Amen? Chapter 14. The Lord gave him a great name because then Lot was kidnapped. Right? And from his house, he raised an army to go deliver Lot from the hand of a coalition of army people. Right? He delivered Lot. I mean, I don't know of any one individual that has an army that can contend against a nation. If that is not greatness, I don't know what it is. But here comes chapter 15. Even after everything has happened, after all of the wealth, after his great name and status, he said, Lord, what? The Lord showed up and said, listen, I am the Lord thy God. Fear not. I am your shield and your great reward, right? But the Lord said, his response to that is like, okay, Lord, what are you going to do for me right now? Because I go childless. What is the use of all this wealth if I don't have a son? Wait. The Lord has fulfilled his word in making, giving you a great name, giving you all of this resource. And then you're struggling to believe him for this other thing. Have you ever noticed that sometimes our faith is so strong in certain areas, but it's not strong in the other? You see somebody who, I mean, they don't think twice about healing and health. They have it locked down. But when it comes to finances, they're struggling in their faith. They just can't get to believe God to come through for them in the area of their finances. And some people are struggling in other areas to believe God. So it means it's not certain things, and especially the things that are time sensitive. Like having a child right now, that in a natural is time sensitive. After a point in time, you will need all the faith in the world, so to speak, to make sure you have a child, right? But for money, we know people who, at the age of 70 and beyond, after retirement, went out in our present day world and became wealthy. So that is not limited to time. So it was easy for him to believe in those areas. But here he is, like, Lord, I mean, what's going on? This is chapter 15. And the Lord cut a covenant with him and said, listen, I am the one that has brought you out from the Ur of the Chaldeans. I am making this promise by my name. I will fulfill my word. Amen. Guess what? Chapter 16. Pillow talk. Sarah walks up to him and says, dude, listen. Let's help God along in this process. Hagar is okay. She's good. And now, watch this. They have this child. Now, the problem is complicated. Now we know for sure Sarah is barren. Right? Because all along, I don't know if they had doctors then to be able to tell who had the problem. Right? So now we know that Abraham is not the one with the problem. So we know for sure that the womb is totally dead. Nothing can live in there. Now tell me, if Abraham had any kind of faith at all that it was going to happen, do you think now that he knows that this womb is completely dead, that he will even believe at all? It's going to be difficult. When they did that, the Bible says that he was 86 at this point. 11 years after the promise was made. He was 86. And after they did this, chapter 17, the Bible says, and God showed up at this time, Abraham was 99. 13 years of silence. No record of God showing up, having any conversation. They stepped out and thought they could help God along. They thought they could do it themselves. And the Lord stepped back. 13 years. 13 years. No word from God. Think about it. You're going through crisis. You need something from God. And the Lord is not saying anything to you. The Lord is not going to say anything new to you. Go back to the promise he made. Stick with it. He's not about to change his mind concerning something. Say, well, you know, now you've made this mistake. Okay, let me just quickly get it done. No. You will have to line up with him. God does not adjust for you. You will have to align with him. 13 years. So he thought maybe 11 years was too much. Now he topped it up with 13 more years. And in chapter 17, the Lord now showed up and said, okay, are you good now? Are you done doing your own thing? Okay. Now let's move on. To help you along, because even in the chapter 15, the Lord told him also, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Count the stars. So the Lord continually was helping him catch a vision. Chapter 13, catch a vision. Chapter 15, catch a vision. Now he said, okay, you know what? Let us change your confession. In chapter 17, the Lord now showed up when he was 99. And I said, okay, you know what? Your name no longer will be Abram. You will be Abraham. So that when you wake up in the morning, everything you are saying is lining up with what I have commanded or what I've promised. It was okay for him to believe because he has Ishmael. When he came over to the issue of Sarah, he said, Sarah, your name will be Sarah. And out of you, I will produce a child. The Bible says, Abraham fell to the ground laughing. So it's not only Sarah that laughed. Abraham cracked up laughing. He said, Lord, listen. Can we just move on with Ishmael? Let Ishmael just fulfill this promise. I mean, what's the difference? It's in the Bible. Verse 17 of chapter 17. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? Next verse. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. Can Ishmael just fulfill this promise? So the Bible is saying here that hoping in chapter 4 of Romans, hoping against hope, he believed God even though at the age of 100. So it means that this faith was not there from the beginning. Something switched at some point. So after this encounter, God didn't say any word, didn't have a conversation with him. God came, gave him the instruction, gave him the name of the baby, gave him the names they will begin to bear, and he left. The same age, 99, the Lord showed up again, and at this time he was heading somewhere to go destroy Gomorrah. But Abraham's attitude changed. He saw from afar and ran to worship and received the Lord. Gave him a special offering, gave him special reception. And that was when the Lord now said, okay, by this time next year, according to the time of life, you will have a child. But Sarah didn't catch the memo. She didn't get the memo. At this point, she now laughed. And I'm sure Abraham was behind saying, do not laugh. This is not it. So when the Lord said, you laughed? He said, no, I did not laugh. But something had changed in the heart of Abraham between the last visit and this point. His heart shifted. His focus shifted. He started to think about the words that the Lord has spoken before, the vision that he had been given, the name that he was given. His confession had changed. His mind has changed. And so when the Bible says hoping against hope, it means that he had lost every kind of hope when it comes to Sarah having a child. Yet he hoped in God. He held fast to what he believed. Some of us might have situations that we feel like, you know, time is up. We've run out of time. Hoping against hope. It is not an easy thing to do because what you see informs a lot of times what you believe. You're looking at it, you are growing older, and some things haven't happened. It impacts on your faith. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The New Living Translation says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. The seeing there is observing the things around you, living based on the things that are visible to you. We live based on our faith in God, our conviction in God and his ability to come through for us. Because if it is based on what we see, then we are all doomed because of the lockdown, right? Living based on what you see, then COVID-19, we are doomed. We live by faith, by believing. So it is a continuous thing. You wake up, I believe. You're going to bed, I believe. It's not working, I believe. When you get to a point where you get it, nothing on the outside of you can shift your place, can shift your belief. In fact, a lot of times people will think you've lost it, that you don't get it. Because I found myself in situations where, you know, I'm expressing my faith in God concerning certain things that are about to happen. And people are telling me, you know, can you try to be realistic? This doesn't make sense. But they don't see what I see. They are functioning based on what they are seeing in the natural. That when you put two and two together, the only thing that comes out is four. But I'm looking at this two and two, and it's giving me 20. And I say, this guy, you have lost it. Listen, sometimes they tell you, listen, we all believe, and I've been through it. I don't care how you went through it. This is what the Lord has revealed to me. Remember, Abraham received the promise. God assured him, cut a covenant with him in chapter 15. Next chapter, Sarah tells him, listen, let's leave this thing. Take this lady and have a child. Let the Lord walk through this other channel. Sometimes we become counselors to our God. We become, you know, we become God's, you know, assistants. You know, let's help God. You know, maybe he doesn't understand how things work in this nation. But the Bible says he hoped against hope. He hoped against hope. So the world around him, he was under pressure. He was anxious. He was worried. He was looking at his age. He was looking at his body. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Why? Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. He knew that looking at his body would cause his faith to weaken. Focusing on the dead womb of Sarah will weaken his faith. What you see will impact on your faith. If you keep your focus on the things in the natural, it will impact on your faith. It will weaken your faith in God. The Bible says in verse 21, he was fully convinced. Somebody say fully convinced. Faith cannot coexist with doubt, with anxiety, with fear. You cannot say, you know, to your spouse or to your very close friend that, you know, you are supposed to trust, and they ask you, you know, do you trust me? Say, sometimes. No. It's either you trust them or you don't. It's not a seasonal thing. Amen. Yeah, sometimes, you know, when I feel like it, I trust you. Otherwise, man. You have to be all in. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let me back up a little bit, verse 20. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. That is so crucial. He never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. So the more he thought about it, the more he confessed it, his faith began to grow. The more he heard the word of God ringing in his spirit, his faith began to grow stronger. His conviction got stronger. And the natural response to that, when you break into that realm, is just to praise God. is joy and celebration and praise to God. You're more or less, you're functioning in a bubble. Because people don't get you, you don't get people. But that's okay. Amen?
Amen?
Because I tell you, when you are in this situation, people are going to come with suggestions.
Yeah.
Well-meaning people. Yeah. They're not evil. They don't mean you, you know, evil or whatever. They mean you, I mean, they think, I mean, from their position, from their experience, you know. Even from scripture. You have to be wise, young man. But no. Because at every point in time, the Lord walks with us individually.
Yes.
You don't have two Samsons in the Bible. The Lord walked with him differently. You don't have two Davids. But there may be similarities in their faith, but their mission is different. What the Lord revealed to them is different. So be sure that you have a vision from God that you are working with. Otherwise, anybody will sell you a new vision. And then you'll be busy sweating it out, worried, getting anxious and wondering, God, why is it not working? God didn't send you anywhere. He didn't give you anything. He didn't give you that. So whoever gave it to you, go and draw strength from them. Period. And then we come back and say, this faith thing is not working. God didn't give you anything. He's still waiting for you. And it might take 13 years before you show back up. And say, okay, are you done running? Okay, now come back. This is what I want for you. Hallelujah. Faith works. But we got to be careful that we don't just jump out and think that anything goes. No. One controversy that, or something that bothered me for the longest time as a young believer was this concept about little faith, great faith, big faith, all sizes of faith. And you know, that can keep you under for a while because you feel like this great faith thing happens only for, you know, those who have been in the faith for 50 years and all that. You can never get to that point. So you're struggling every day. In fact, you now spend 16 hours a day praying, hoping that, you know, you will get to that point. And, you know, a lot of times they make it difficult for you. Back then, you know, they make it difficult for you because all these people that we look up to those days, when they come up on the pulpit, their eyes are dim, sort of. And they're speaking softly with some baritone. And you feel like, oh my goodness, this guy is from the throne. And when they speak the word to you, you receive it that God has spoken. And you just take it all in and you have more faith even in their word than in the word of God. But at the end of the day, you go back home and, in fact, you don't even get all the way home. You get to the car park and it's like, reality hits you big. It didn't mean that what they said was not real. It just means that they didn't teach you the principles of how it operates. You know? You can get it into your head, but if it's not in your heart, it's not going to work. Because quote all the scriptures you want, if it is not mixed with faith, I'm sorry. So that's why a lot of people, they say, but I read the Bible and I got the scripture. I prayed. In fact, I joined the prayer conference lines. I have 5 conference lines. I'm joining constantly, you know. I've distributed my prayer point to different places. Why is it not working? Listen, it is only God that answers prayers. And you have access to him. And to connect with him, you need your faith. God is not just ready to toss things to you because you asked. He wants to connect with you. He wants to keep that channel open. And the way you keep that channel open is through faith. And the walk of faith helps you to know God more because your conviction, your trust in God comes from you knowing him. Getting to know him day by day from reading his word. From staying in a place of worship with him. You get to know him. You get overtaken, overwhelmed by him. So all you hear is just his word ringing in your heart. Like they say, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing. So the word you hear until it begins to ring, you know. So the word is just ringing in your spirit right there, you know, and it drowns out every other word. But understand, so the idea of faith being little or great, when you look at the scripture, every time it talked about little faith, it wasn't really talking about little faith as we know. It was talking about, in the different places, take for instance Matthew chapter 6, when it was talking about God clothes, you know, the lilies and he feeds the birds, you know, are you not more than these, O ye of little faith? That little faith there is talking about anxiety. That anxiety depletes your faith. So when you begin to get so anxious about what you don't have, what needs have not been met, you just depleted your faith. So you can wake up in the morning so full of faith, and all of a sudden, in this particular area, you just kill it out. It's not a process. It dies. It's like turning on a light switch. You know? Because sometimes we think like, you know, it's just a... No. It just goes. And you know what? When we leave that door open slightly, fear doesn't just take its time to walk in. It rushes in. When the Bible talks about little faith, when Jesus Christ calmed, you know, the waves, when he was sleeping in the boat and the people were panicking and all that, and they came to call him, you know, and was wondering, don't you care that we perish? And he came out and said, oh, you have little faith, and calmed the seas. That little faith there was talking about fear. It's not about, because why I'm saying this is, the Bible says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, you will say to this mulberry tree, remove thee hence. And you will move. So if you can do great things from small faith, then that small faith is not the same thing as little faith. Because little faith should be able to do something. If there is any ounce of faith or any dot of faith, it should be able to produce something. So it means that little faith does not mean faith. In the different places it has talked about little faith, it means either anxiety, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Check the scripture. So if you're going around saying, well, at least I have little faith, you don't have faith. That is the same thing as you saying, I trust the Lord sometimes. It's not there. It's not there. It doesn't mean that you are a sinner because you don't have faith. It just means that you will live without accessing the promise. Period. You will make heaven, but you will make it through your sweat and your blood. The place where grace has given you access through faith, you can't access. Hallelujah. We believed God. The Bible says salvation comes by grace through faith. So if you had faith in this God that you cannot see, but you believed him that is able to save you and deliver you, until today you still believe that you are saved, washed clean, no, nothing is holding you back, that is the same thing. Except you wake up sometimes and you feel like, I don't think the blood did a complete job, a thorough job. You need some more blood from the cross to purge you. Then that is, wow. Glory to God. So I want to show you how faith goes from, you go from believing God one moment and the next moment you're down to zero. It happens like that. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 14. Hallelujah. Are we receiving something today? This is a fun experience. Once you know that you are anxious, once you know that fear is creeping in, you will know. When you begin to get worried, you know, some people say they are concerned. Well, whatever you call it, you know, once these things begin to get you all worked up and you're trying to do all you know, the first thing the Lord will do for you is, yeah, calm down, give you peace. In the world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, calm down. He says that be not anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication and giving of thanks, make a request known to God, and the peace of God comes in. So peace has to come in first for faith to operate effectively. Faith cannot operate in a place of confusion. Because at that point, anything goes. It's like anybody comes here, let's try this. Okay, you go. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 23. This is when Peter walked on water. Now, Jesus had just finished a conference and told them, go over to the other side, and he dispersed the crowd and was about to go meet up with them. Verse 23 says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. They were in trouble. Heavy winds, waves, they were fighting. So they were in a crisis situation, right? They were dealing with a major problem. Okay. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. And when the disciples saw him, these are people who were, you know, in trouble with the wave. When they saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. So now, all of a sudden, the waves that was the main problem in their life is now relegated to the background. The main problem now is this ghost of a figure that is before them. Have you ever been in a situation where you're dealing with one crisis and all of a sudden something else pops up and you forget about that other one? Now this one is a new thing that is about to kill you. So you want to deal with it first before you go back to the wave. But in a minute ago, you were like, this is the real thing that is about to kill me. And you're struggling with it, and another one comes. In fact, so fear kicked in. They were terrified. They've never seen something like this before. But the Bible says, when Jesus saw that fear was taking over and these guys were about to kill themselves, Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, somebody say, the Lord is with me. I shall not fear. Oh, glory to God. Then Peter, after peace has been restored in his heart, called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on water. And Jesus said, yes, come. Jesus said, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Nobody else. Every other person maintained their position in the boat. Lord, we believe you, but we are not moving. Let Peter go ahead first. If he succeeds, then we will believe you to come out. But Peter, at that point, Peter was amongst those who were fearful in the boat. No faith. Jesus shows up, restores peace in their heart. Faith arises because they believed in it. He believed in his word. And he stepped out of the boat, fully convinced that Jesus will keep him on that water. Every other person in the boat, I'm very sure they will be screaming, don't go, let him come back into the boat, don't go. But he stepped out. Remember, they were in trouble still. The wave was still beating around, right? But he wasn't looking at the waves at this time. He was focused on Jesus. He wasn't looking at the fact that they were on water. He was focused on Jesus and his promise, his word. He stepped out against natural laws. He stepped out of that boat and his feet was firm on the water and he was walking. Walking confidently with joy in his heart. And you know, as life is, even when you are having fun in the presence of God, some thoughts may blow through your mind. You may catch sight of something that just throws you off and messes your mood up completely. And while he was walking toward Jesus, he just leaned to the side and saw the same wave that caused some trouble for them. And instantly, the Bible says, let me read it as it is written here. But when he saw, so that means he wasn't seeing the wave before. His focus shifted from Jesus and he saw the strong wind and the waves. The same waves that were there before that he stopped seeing because of the presence of Jesus, because of the word of Jesus. And now he became complacent and shifted his focus from Jesus for just a minute. He saw it and guess what? He was terrified. Fear came back. Fear came back immediately and guess what? He sank. The Bible says he began to sink. Listen, beginning to sink means that you are underwater. You are struggling to come out. All right? So it's not like he was just going down a little bit. No, he went down and was struggling. And he cried out, Lord, save me. So now his faith now was no longer for just to walk on water, but for salvation. And so he reached out to Jesus, save me. And the Lord pulled him up and he said, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. And the next line says, Jesus said, why did you doubt me? He doubted Jesus. He believed the circumstances around him and started to doubt Jesus. This cannot be real now. How is this even possible? You start off in faith, knowing that this thing is possible. You are charging all over the place. In fact, you are announcing it around the world and all of a sudden you get some information, you get some news. Which of course, yes, you always get. But all of a sudden, you now started to become wise. And say, but wait, it doesn't make sense to be walking on water. What if this wave hits us? Will I fall down on the water or will I? And he started to lose faith in God. Jesus was still standing on the water. And he saved him out of the water. Listen, when you read through this scripture, the Bible says that Jesus pulled him up and they went back into the boat. Jesus didn't carry him. Jesus didn't put him on his back and toss him into the boat. They both walked back into the boat. Hallelujah. Amen. You see how from a point where he was fearful and had no faith, the next minute he had faith to walk on the water. And while he was so confident, he lost focus and drowned. You see how quickly events shifted and changed. And when he restored his focus back to Jesus, Jesus pulled him up and he walked back into the boat. That is how easy and how quickly our faith can shift from Christ to our crisis. We lose faith in God, not because God is not faithful, but because we want it when we want it and how we want it. And so because Jesus, he said, listen, pay attention, stick with me. I'm going to take you to the very end. Help me put Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I think the Message translation, please. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The Bible says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. Not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Is that not enough to have confidence in God? Yeah. He knows what he is doing. Trust me. Trust me. It doesn't look like it right now. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know the future you need. And that is what I'm orchestrating for you. That is what I'm arranging to get you to. Certain things has to happen. You may not see it happening. You know, sometimes you've prayed, you're in faith, but it's like you're not hearing anything new. You're not seeing anything move in the natural. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of praise to God. Because when Jesus cursed that fig tree, it didn't die in the natural. To them, they were seeing the fig tree still alive. Mark 11. 24 hours later, they saw the tree dying from its roots. And Jesus didn't go back to check to see, did my proclamation work? It was the people that heard it. When they were coming back, they were now checking. I know the master cursed that tree. Let's check. Is it dead? I said, ah, master, the tree you cursed. I said, what's wrong with you? Have faith in God. That is how it works. We have absolute confidence in God. It is failure proof. You are not looking forward to failure. You don't have a plan B, C, or D. Think about it. God gives you a promise and tells you, okay, if this one doesn't work, try this. That cannot be God. That means God is not even sure himself. When God gives you an instruction and makes his promise to you, it is done. So just walk with him. In the natural, time is up. Well, time is not up for him. The Bible says he's one that determines the times and the seasons. He sets up kings and removes kings. The Bible says, who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not ordained it? So if this is the God that you serve, then you must understand that, listen, he cannot adjust for you. You have to align to him. It doesn't feel good. Trust me. As the days go by, you feel like, you know, you are feeling irresponsible for not doing anything about some things. Hold your peace. Don't worry about it. Stick with him. People are going to call your names for trusting God. But stick with him. Because at the end of the day, they will laugh with you. Amen. You know? And some will come out of the woodworks, the same people who were doubting you and say, well, I mean, we were part of those who prayed. Like they contributed faith. So we donated faith to you to make it happen. You know? And sometimes people act like, you know, they work in partnership with God to bring about your breakthrough. Thank God for prayer warriors. Thank God for people who are faithfully praying. Thank God for them. But there are some people who just come to tick the box that they prayed. And after praying, they now check everything in the natural. This person is just wasting their time. I don't know why we are praying for this person. God is faithful. God is faithful. He never fails. He never ever fails. He is not planning to fail. Not today, not tomorrow. At least he's not planning to fail me. He's not planning to fail. So according to scripture, so how do you keep your faith locked in? Making sure that it is constantly effective, that even though you stagger at some point because you got distracted, how do you restore, get restored, get back in line? It might not sound like what you want to hear, but this is the only thing. Meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, from verse 1 to 3. Meditate on the word of God day and night. That is the only way you can even know what the promise of God is. That is the only way you can know how faithful your God is. That is the only way you can even know this God we are talking about. Because he reveals himself to scripture. You get to know how awesome and how powerful this God is. And when you understand this, the only fear you have is the awe you have for God. And how it is that he can look, you know. There's a song I heard many, many years ago, many, many years ago. It says, you know, God of the heavens, God of the earth, God of the last days and of the first, God of creation, too awesome to be contained by the heavens, but you live in me. You are too awesome to be contained by the heavens, but you live in me. How amazing. It talks about the greatness of this God. But the only place he wants to be is with you. And so you're marching around knowing that God is with you. Why should you fear? Why should you fear? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't think I need to say anything more. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Isaiah says, he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. Why? Because they trust in him. You don't have peace? Shift your focus to Christ. Put your trust in him. Peace will be restored. I don't know what it is people are going through today. I don't know what crisis you're dealing with. I don't know what needs are before you today. I don't know if, I mean, it might not just be, you know, a crisis. It might just be something you desire, something you want to happen. You may not need a healing. You may feel like you're running out of time concerning certain things. You want to make certain decisions, but you're so unsure. Let me remind you that God knows what he is doing. He has it all planned out. His plan is to take care of you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. His plan is to give you the future you hope for. The future that you hope for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He will give you the future that you hope for. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your mind stayed on him. Let your heart be fixed. Trust in the Lord. He will come through. Listen, it doesn't matter how long it takes. He will come through. You may miss it, but he will come through. God is not about to change his mind concerning his promise. Listen, his promise has not changed. His plan has not changed. His word has not changed. And it's not about to change. He will bring it to pass in your life. It doesn't matter how long it takes for you to get it. He is waiting for you. He has it. He has it. He has it. Waiting for you to come to him. To keep your eyes on him and focus on him. He will release it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. It is available. It's available. He didn't just set aside a blessing and gave to us as a congregation and said, you know, all of us, you know, just share it amongst yourselves. No. That's right. Customize the blessings. Very specific. For you. So don't fear. Don't fear. You lost your job. It's not a reason to fear. Your king is here. they cut your paycheck. Not a reason to fear. You've been on the sick bed. Not a reason to fear. You're surrounded by some problem, one problem or the other. Not a reason to fear. Your children are not acting right. Not a reason to fear. He is the God that restores. He is the God that heals. He is the God that protects. There is no reason to fear. He is a covenant-keeping God. No reason to fear. There is no reason to fear. No reason to be anxious for anything. I have this attitude about life. Listen, if it comes to a point where I know that, okay, the deadline is up and things are not working, so what is the worst that can happen right now? God, your glory is at stake. This is not enough for me to stop believing you. This is not enough for me to start questioning you or questioning your love for me. Oh, no. I know this is only opening a new access for me to something greater. Every single time this happens, the devil gets frustrated. He's like, what kind of a human being is this? I've squeezed you so tight, you are not giving up. What is wrong with you? And every time the Lord shows up, he shows up. I remember recently, and I'm going to close with this. Recently, you know, there was this money I was expecting, you know, to come through. It wasn't mine. I was supposed to forward it to somebody. And at that point, the money was low. It was, the money in the account was at a point where you could say, should I get gas or get food? You can't do both with this money right now. Or just leave it there so that whatever direct debit comes in, it can take something out of it. So you are caught in that place. But I couldn't tell my wife. Because I didn't want her to begin to, I mean, she's a woman of faith, but I didn't want her to begin to scramble to see how she can sort it out quickly. You know, to, you know how you want to fix things, you want to get things, you know, we shouldn't be here. But I'm seeing this as a journey of faith. If I don't learn it now, I will learn it at the age 99. And I don't want to wait till then. I want to get it now. The Bible says, so, you know, I was right there. And so at this point, this is like, you know, they reversed this fund. So I was expecting it to come in after 3 business days. And I opened up my account, hoping to see this amount. And I saw a different number. Glory to God. I was like, okay. There was no description. I didn't know who sent it. I just saw it. Mind you, I have been sitting down there, you know, like, oh, praise God. You know, we're kicking it. You know, I said, Lord, whatever happens, happens. The bills are due. Certain things need to be taken care of. You know, at least we had food in the house, so I wasn't worried about that. But there were certain things that needed to be taken care of. And you cannot carry on as a married person with that amount in your account. And so, this day hit the account. I didn't get any alert on my phone. No notification, nothing. I was like, Lord, thank you, first of all. I mean, this was a huge miracle in the middle of the day, you know. And that was when I told my wife this was what was going on. That this is the amount in the account. And the Lord worked a miracle even while we were not paying attention. Why did I say this? If I did not check the account, I would have continued thinking that what I had was too low. Was that little, little amount. And I'll keep trusting, Lord, please do something. Move, Father. Oh, Lord, I believe you. You know, confessing, and all that. But God had already answered the prayer. Many times we are releasing our faith. You know, we are acting as though God has not answered. That God has not moved. The Bible says he has blessed you already. Can you receive it? Can you just believe and receive it? Can you just own it? Hallelujah. Many months ago, you know, got an instruction. Hey, listen, you know, stop this, stop that. Don't do this, don't do that. And let's trust God. Say, well, I will obey the servant of God and obey the voice of God. This is a test of faith. Just a day afterwards. Now, typically, I would expect a certain amount to hit my account from a certain transaction after the week or after the week. And the Lord himself arranged for that amount without me working for it. Without me doing anything. He put it in the heart of somebody months ago. They had plans for this amount. Did not know. I mean, they didn't know COVID-19 was about to hit. And this son of God called me and said, listen, the Lord dropped in my heart to give you this. I said, Pastor needs to hear this. And he gave that, he called me. And at this point, you know, because of how sudden this whole COVID thing hit, you know, proper preparations were not put in place, you know. I mean, you started off the year, you know, you're taking care of a whole lot. This thing hit the account. I said, praise God. First thing in the morning, this son of man called back and said, the Lord told him, listen, you've not completed the assignment. And he topped it up. So don't tell me that you have to hustle it. You have to work so hard and sweat it all out. In the middle of a crisis, you lost your job. You lost what you thought was your source. The Lord will show up just like he showed up for Elijah and Elisha in the midst of the famine. He will provide for you. Now, this servant of God is not a raven. He's not a raven. So, I tell you, listen, God is faithful. I know what I'm talking about. God is faithful. I've seen him heal people from impossible situations. I've seen him provide. I've seen him restore. So it doesn't matter what you're going through, what your crisis is. God is faithful. He will come through. Keep your eyes on him. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at your surroundings. He will come through for you. Don't even observe the channels you think he's going to come through. Because he will surprise you. He will surprise you. And these are the days when he wants to use you as an instrument for his glory. So better position yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you receive something today? Rise up on your feet as we celebrate the living God.